910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury in Los Angeles finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at his former friend on a Hollywood street in 2021. Just 3 hours of deliberations. The artist, whose real name is Rakim Meyers, outside court.
I'm just so thankful. This is crazy right now. This whole experience has been crazy for the past 4 years, but I'm thankful. Nonetheless, I'm thankful. We're blessed to be here right now, to be a free man talking to y'all.
Rocky could have legally gotten up to 24 years in prison with guilty verdicts. Top officials from both Russia and the U.S. meeting for 4 hours in Saudi Arabia's capital. It was the highest level engagement between the countries since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine nearly 3 years ago. President Trump today signing an executive order aiming to lower the cost of and expand access to in vitro fertilization. Brazil's prosecutor general charging former leader Jair Bolsonaro with attempting a coup to stay in power and agreeing to poison his successor. This is ABC News. A Native American activist whose life sentence was controversial commuted by then President Biden is out of prison.
Leonard Peltier was sentenced to life in prison for killing two FBI agents in 1975. He's maintained his innocence from the beginning. Fellow activists said he was a wrongly convicted political prisoner. On his final day in office, President Biden commuted the 80-year-old sentence to home confinement. That led to outrage from many, including the FBI director at the time, who called Peltier a remorseless killer. Peltier left his Florida prison. He'll return to the Turtle Mountain Band Reservation in North Dakota. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Retail sales dropped sharply last month, falling 0.9% in January from the previous month. One reason, frigid temperatures that kept more shoppers at home. Say it ain't so. Kentucky Fried Chicken says it's moving its corporate headquarters from Louisville, Kentucky to Plano, Texas. The move affects about 190 employees. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl's Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. Been coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The hips don't lie, and neither does the torso. Shakira had to cancel a show in Lima, Peru last weekend after she found herself in the emergency room. The singer announced to her 91 million Twitter followers she had an abdominal issue and was not well enough to perform. According to The Hollywood Reporter, she rescheduled the show for Monday, February 17th, and is back at it. Glad it was nothing serious. Could have just been Taco Bell. The Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Baldoni drama is in the middle of court filings and subpoenas. During a recent appearance on CBS This Morning, Brendan Slinar, who shared the big screen with Lively and Beldoni on In It Ends With Us, which is where all the controversy took place, was asked by Gayle King who he is siding with, Team Justin or Team Blake. Sklenar diplomatically answered that he is with Team It Ends With Us. Sklenar was on the show to promote the upcoming second season of Taylor Sheridan's 1923. Closer to home, he starred in Green and Gold, which was shot in Door County and is still in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cold weather advisory of the overnight. Partly cloudy skies, lows close to 20 below, but thankfully our winds light. On Wednesday, some flurries and light snow, light accumulations through the end of the day, highs near 10 above, 1 to 2 inches total. It's zero at our studios.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, everybody? It is 3:06 on this very cold Tuesday afternoon here in Wisconsin and beyond. Hello. I hope your day is going well. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am watching on CNN right now the image of Marco Rubio and a couple of other American diplomats, Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia, and some Russian diplomats all discussing Ukraine. Weird. Ukraine not at the table. Not at the table. Just a very weird image. Of course, including the infamous Sergei Lavrov, if you forget, Donald Trump, you know, maybe leaking some national secrets to Mr. Lavrov during his first administration. Might want to Google that as well. So what is all of this about? We spent the first hour today talking about the abomination that was J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference last week. So what is all of this moving towards? What is the point? Because we can see Russia taking an increasingly aggressive stance, basically to disrupt all of what I thought were U.S. allies in Western Europe, to disrupt their democratic systems, to sow division amongst their people. And it includes not just misinformation and bots posting stuff in the information sewers that are social media, of course, but it is corruption of media, which we are seeing in part in the United States. We're seeing corruption in politics. Out-and-out bribery, like what's the quid pro quo for Donald Trump getting into some sort of alliance for political and economic opportunities with Russia? Opportunities that produce for whom and at what cost? But Russia is also engaging in increasing levels of sabotage and cyber attacks and even assassination attempts in mainland Europe. We've been warned about this for years. Our intelligence agencies have been warning us, and yet this is our new alliance, the Russia-U.S. alliance with Vladimir Putin. So my question is this, to each and every one of you, including conservatives, does the Trump administration hold a genuine belief that not just short-term American interests or short-term Donald Trump interests, but that long-term interests of the United States and what we have always stood for, which is in the hopes of more transparent, more efficient and effective government, a more vibrant democracy, the respect of human rights, that those long-term American interests, which I believe we fought in World War II to protect and defend, are best served by the United States forging an alliance with one of the world powers that for the entire time Vladimir Putin has been in control of Russia has sought to undermine every single one of those values? I mean, what's the end game here? Is this so Donald Trump can throw up a tower in Moscow or St. Petersburg? Is it because of some comp robot? I mean, this is beyond any of that. What's the selling point to the American public? Because you can't make an argument that Vladimir Putin stands for the dignity of all human beings, tolerance, respect, free speech, freedom of the press. He stands for none of those things. I just don't get it. Why is this convergence of racist, sexist, xenophobic, white power, oppression, misogynistically faux interpretations of Christianity and fascism all wielded by this wannabe dictator who openly embraces Nazi language, symbolism, and imagery, and his billionaire overlord who does the same, aligning with neo-Nazi parties across Europe? What's the goal? Where are we going? Do they really think that they're going to get rid of the constitutional amendment that gave women the right to vote? Do they really think they're going to be able to purge women and people of color from every position, every job that we've got? Do they really think the American public is going to be okay with internment camps? Or is this, like, if this is some sort of, I don't know, wrestling-esque performance to simply amass power and wealth, this is one of the most coldly calculated, cynical political movements in history. Because at the end of that political calculation are real lives and real democracies and our actual allies. And this isn't about, well, maybe we should spend less in foreign aid. Like, we can have that debate. These are fundamental questions about what values do Americans believe in. And we're bearing witness to a political party saying we're going to rewrite those values. And that those values, if you don't share our interpretation of those values, you no longer have a place in the United States. And not just you no longer have a place in the United States, you don't have a place anywhere. And we're seeing this bear out in real time in many different ways every day. But the one that I wanted to spend this hour talking with each and every one of you about are the mass resignations that are happening in the Department of Justice. One of the guardrails that we have in our country is the good faith and the oaths taken by government lawyers, especially prosecutors. And we are watching prosecutors, seasoned civil servants, conservatives, people that you can just guess are Republican, and I'll get to how you know that in a second, resign from some of the most important positions of power within our federal prosecutors' offices. The two most important prosecutors' offices in the country are the Southern District of New York and the D.C. Circuit. And that is where we are seeing the resignations come from now. In the immediate term, to each and every one of you out there that's thinking, I agree with you, Maggie, what are we going to do about this? The first thing to do is make sure that you voted today, that you are registered to vote, and that you show up on April 1st to vote in the general election. I want to give shout outs to Dick from Madison, Sue from Franklin, Jude from East Troy, Mark from Sussex, Kyle from Luxembourg, Randy O from Stoughton, Brian from Milwaukee, Jim from Brookfield, and everyone else who has been texting to confirm that they indeed voted today. Thank you all. Please, if you haven't had a chance yet, go do that. I want to tell you a little bit about Danielle Sassoon, who was the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who resigned last week and refused to dismiss charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. What kind of charges? The most serious kind that an elected official can be charged with, which is basically fraud and corruption. Taking bribes, illegal campaign donations in exchange for favor trading. You know, corruption. You give me money and things and help me win elections and I'll do you favors. It's the like, ask a third grader what they might think corruption would be and then probably come up with that answer. Danielle Sassoon is by every nominal measure that you can look for a Republican. How do you know this? Because of who she clerked for. She clerked for the Honorable Harvey Wilkinson III on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, and then Antonin Scalia. You don't get to clerk for a like the most conservative Supreme Court justice if you do not have conservative bona fides. You can't base it just on the circuit court clerk, because I clerked for a Republican appointee, very conservative judge. But you know what from the Reagan appointment? Or excuse, not the Reagan appointment, the Scalia clerkship. The other guy who got a ton of press from his resignation is a guy by the name of Hagan Scotton. He was an assistant U.S. attorney in the Southern District. He's a decorated Iraq war veteran, went to Harvard Law School, and he clerked for Chief Justice John Roberts and for Brett Kavanaugh when he was on the appeals court bench. So let's get this straight. These are not some like lurking Democrats trying to muck about and impede the Trump administration's policy agenda. These are deeply conservative individuals. These were two of the folks who resigned. I'm going to get to a couple of really important points from their resignation letters in a moment. But I wanted to share this about my background as a government lawyer. Every single person who works in government, but most especially government lawyers, we all have our personal political beliefs. We all do. But most of us, I'd say by far the vast majority of us, take our oath to the state and federal constitutions very clearly, and we take our job duties to be impartial, to be objective, to not let our personal political beliefs enter into our decision-making just as seriously. Without this basic idea, which I think we all should be able to agree about, especially when you're talking about prosecutors, that departures from that, no matter whether it's coming from a Trump administration, a Republican administration, or a Democratic administration, are really bad for democracy. That criminal prosecutions, or lack thereof, should not be determined by political favor trading or the politics of the would-be defendant. With that value in mind, I'm going to tell you at least one story about when that principle was tested for me and how alarming I find the language coming from these resignations and what it tells us about our present minute and moment. You're going to want to keep it locked. We'll be right back here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to give props to one of our newest texters, Chris from Blue River. He was the number one voter number one this morning at 7 a.m. Congrats, Chris, for getting it out there and getting it done. I love it. Mark from Prairie du Sac also voted already. Newer texter from the 262 voted. Charles from Milwaukee, he and his wife got the vote done. Congratulations to everyone for getting your vote done and being part of this democratic process. We are talking about a subversion of democratic processes that is going on as commanded by the Trump administration. If you want to know what the corruption of the Justice Department looks like, you need look no further than the prosecution of Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, and not really his prosecution, but the request to dismiss charges. I've been talking about two of the lawyers that have resigned in protest, now apparently reporting today that in a matter unrelated to the Adams prosecution, another attorney in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office resigning. I'm going to tell you a little story about that in a moment. Here's what is extremely concerning about the Adams case. Emil Bovee, is the second in command of the U.S. Department of Justice right under Pam Bondi. He apparently wrote a memo to the Southern District of New York and said, here are my reasons for why this prosecution should be dismissed. They're all garbage. But one of his justifications actually cut in exactly the opposite direction. He analogized this dismissal of charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams like the hostage exchange between Russia and the United States to get Brittany Griner back. I want you all to like think about this for a minute. Forget parties. Forget the politics. Using your good old thinking caps and common sense, how would it be in any way? What possible connections would there be between two foreign powers, at least up until today, adversaries, negotiating a prisoner swap, which is the very, I don't know, like the very literal embodiment of quid pro quo, embodiment, literal meaning, pun intended. How would that bear any resemblance in a good, healthy, democratic way to an administration dismissing charges in exchange for a mayor exerting whatever political influence he has to help the administration accomplish its policy preferences? How is that a good analogy? It's not. It's the worst analogy that you can imagine. It's an explicit admission that it was quid pro quo. And by the way, the fact that the request for Eric Adams' charges to be dismissed was without prejudice, which is the fancy legal term, meaning we can file them again, makes it even worse. It's like Trump is saying to Eric Adams, listen, you're going to do everything I say about immigration. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Not a whit of disagreement ever. I want you hitting my talking points every day. I want you marshaling up New York police officers. Get them off the street. Actually worried about, you know, crime in New York City. And I want you to deputize them as ICE agents. And I want you to conduct raids on my behalf. And if you ever deviate one little bit from my directions on any of this, well, then I'll direct my Department of Justice under Emile Bove and Pam Bondi to refile these criminal charges against you. It's like a looming extortionary force over Eric Adams' head. More breaking news on this very subject. Four New York City deputy mayors resigned from the Adams administration amid growing turmoil in City Hall. This is what the dismantling of democratic norms does. It creates absolute no bottom. Here's the acting U.S. attorney in her resignation letter. This should be called out for what it is, an improper offer of immigration enforcement assistance in exchange for dismissal of his case. Yeah. She goes on to say, the generalized concerns you expressed, Mr. Bove, are not a basis to dismiss an indictment returned by a duly constituted grand jury, at least where, as here, the government has no doubt in its evidence or the integrity of an investigation. She goes on and drops the bomb that, of course, we have proposed a superseding indictment, meaning a new indictment that would actually add an obstruction conspiracy count based on evidence that Adams destroyed and instructed others to destroy evidence and provide false information to the FBI. It goes on and on and on. She ends with this statement. I remain baffled by the rushed and superficial process by which this decision was reached in seeming collaboration with Adams' counsel and without my direct input on the ultimate stated rationales for dismissal. By the way, neither Pam Bondi nor Emile Bove found it necessary to meet with the acting U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York about their directive to dismiss these charges. Here's what Hagan Scotton said about this. There is a tradition in public service of resigning in a last-ditch effort to head off a serious mistake. Any U.S. attorney would know that our laws and traditions do not allow using the prosecutorial power to influence other citizens, much less elected officials, in this way. If no lawyer within earshot of the president is willing to give him that advice, then I expect that you will eventually find someone who is enough of a fool or enough of a coward to file your motion, but it was never going to be me. We come back. I'll tell you what the stakes are for these people that are resigning, why these decisions were absolutely some of the most agonizing that these people have ever made in their professional careers, and why this is a warning signal, loud and clear, to every single last one of us. My name is Maggie Dawn. We're going to take more of your calls and texts when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you'll be up first. All over, all over, all over.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A jury in Los Angeles finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at his former friend on a Hollywood street in 2021. Just 3 hours of deliberations. The artist, whose real name is Rakim Mayers, outside court.
I'm just so thankful. This is crazy right now. This whole experience has been crazy for the past 4 years, but I'm thankful. Nonetheless, I'm thankful. We're blessed to be here right now, to be a free man talking to y'all.
Rocky could have legally gotten up to 24 years in prison with guilty verdicts. Top officials from both Russia and the U.S. meeting for 4 hours in Saudi Arabia's capital. It was the highest level engagement between the countries since Moscow sent troops into Ukraine nearly 3 years ago. President Trump today signing an executive order aiming to lower the cost of and expand access to in vitro fertilization. Brazil's prosecutor general charging former leader Jair Bolsonaro with attempting a coup to stay in power and agreeing to poison his successor. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Badgers in Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Tonight at the Kohl Center, it's Wisconsin against the Fighting Illini. Now, the last time these two teams met, Illinois won 86-80. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation. Head basketball coach Greg Gard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think we're better on both ends of the floor. But obviously a really good team, a lot of talent. You know, when they're playing well, they're really, really good. So it's going to be a challenge for us and a good measuring stick to see where we have come from early December.
Number 16th ranked Marquette at home tonight in Milwaukee against Seton Hall. Baseball in Arizona. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked about 22-year-old Jefferson Cairo coming back from surgery, and Murph is excited about the young catcher's future.
He's the right kid. He's got the right makeup, the right approach to the game. But coached well, parented well, because that dude's special. Just mark it down. When I'm around a great one, and I can smell it. He smells like he's going to be a great one.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Guy Pearce says Kevin Spacey made him feel uncomfortable while shooting LA Confidential. Pearce told The Hollywood Reporter the disgraced Spacey targeted him for months on the set back in 1997. The Oscar-nominated Pearce said he was not actually assaulted, but kept brushing off the advances, which was difficult to do because at the time, Spacey was quite powerful and very aggressive. Pearce said when he heard the reports that other actors came forward accusing Spacey of sexual assault, he broke down and sobbed. Pearce is nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year for his role in The Brutalist. And here's something that will make you feel old news. The Breakfast Club just turned 40 this past weekend. The John Hughes film was written in 1982 and put the famous writer-director on the map. The film's initial budget was $1 million and originally was going to be shot independently in Chicago. The Breakfast Club went on to gross $50 million after finally being released in 1985 and became a classic. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cold weather advisory of the overnight. Partly cloudy skies, lows close to 20 below, but thankfully our winds light. On Wednesday, some flurries and light snow. Light accumulations through the end of the day. Highs near 10 above, 1 to 2 inches total.
It's zero at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome stand-up comedian Jeff Kane and writer-director of the film January, Nathan Demming, who discusses his barnstorming tour of the state. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight, Governor Tony Evers will be delivering his 2025-2027 biennial budget message to a joint session of our state's legislature. His speech starts at 7. Our civic media coverage of this event begins at 6:50. You're not going to want to miss it. Our team will also be around after the governor is done speaking with a breakdown of the priorities the governor has articulated this evening, along with updates, of course, from the spring primary election that is taking place today as well. If you don't know if you're registered and you still want to get your vote in, go to myvote.wi.gov. Don't worry, you have plenty of time. And we still have same-day registration here in the state of Wisconsin. And you've got until 8 p.m. to get in line to cast your ballot. Please, please do so. Want to give a shout-out to Kelly in Madison. She got her voting done. And to one of our newish texters from the 608, giving us all a little reminder to take your time with the ballot. The big vote that is on this primary ballot is for the state superintendent of public instruction. Carefully read it, because we have two J's on the ballot. We've got Jeff and Jill. So make sure you get the right J when you fill out your ballot. If you do make a mistake, just ask to talk to one of the election workers. They can, quote, spoil a ballot. It gets torn in half and you are reissued a new ballot. That ballot number is recorded, etc. I want to share, we're talking about the Thursday night massacre, the resignations of seven lawyers across the Southern District of New York, as well as a lawyer who resigned from Mr. Bove's office. So not in the SDNY, working directly in the Deputy Attorney General's office, a guy by the name of Nicholas Ruse also resigning. We now have four, count them, four officials from New York City Mayor Eric Adams' office resigning, saying they cannot fulfill their oaths of office as they are being asked by Mayor Adams not to criticize President Donald Trump's administration on policies that conflict with their work, according to sources with the matter. Got a great tip from one of our texters as well, asking me whether a judge has blocked the dismissal of the Eric Adams prosecution that was directed by Pam Bondi, Donald Trump, and Emile Bove. I want to be really clear here. A federal judge cannot block a prosecution's office request for a dismissal. They can just determine whether it is with or without prejudice. That hearing is going to happen tomorrow, but the judge has directed Mr. Adams, Mayor Adams, as well as officials from the Department of Justice to show up and explain themselves. So I will be talking about that tomorrow in between all of our other amazing Wisconsin coverage that we're going to have tomorrow, which includes the governor's budget address, the Burka Binder. We're going to talk about the primary ballots and, of course, billionaires. Oh, my. This is also some breaking news. My thanks to my senior producer, Jamie, helping me stay on top of all of this. A federal judge declined on Tuesday to temporarily block Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency from accessing federal data systems at a slew of executive branch agencies. This is from Judge Chutkan. This is an early blow to efforts by a group of Democratic state attorneys general, I believe Josh Calls among them, to hamstring Musk and Doge as they undertake efforts to upend the federal workforce. This will not be the last say in this. There will be more coming on this. You may see different plaintiffs, maybe some federal employees themselves. You may also see more specific cases challenging particular access points. Here is a judge derided by Trump for the way that she handled his criminal prosecutions, actually, you know, following her good faith interpretation of the law and refusing to grant what was a temporary injunction. Funny how that judicial independence and actually taking your oath seriously works for both sides. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. I wanted to share with you all how incredible what we're witnessing is. Great comments on Facebook. If you want to watch me rather than listen to me, you can watch me on Facebook, X and Instagram, at Maggie Dawn Show. Civic Media also has its own YouTube channel. I want to thank the people that are participating on those outlets for participating. One person pointed out, why are people resigning? Why aren't they forcing the firings? Oftentimes, the firing can be spun. If you resign, you kind of claim the narrative a bit. It's also showing that you do not believe that you can execute direct orders that are being given to you by a superior. That is what happened in the case of the Southern District of New York. Interestingly enough, in response to these resignations and to the resignation of the assistant, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who was put in that position by the Trump administration, just in case you were keeping track. The Department of Justice has done what? Oh, it's launched an investigation of all of these people. Those folks who work in the Department of Justice, especially those who have jobs in the Southern District of New York and the D.C. U.S. Attorney's offices, these are the two most powerful U.S. attorney's offices in the country. And these are jobs of these lawyers' lifetimes. You heard me give you part of the resumes of a couple of these people. These are Supreme Court clerks. Those two individuals clerking for two of the most conservative justices on the court, or that were on the court. These are jobs that people work incredibly hard to get, that are considered to be the top of the pyramid of lawyering. And these are not jobs that lawyers will resign from at the drop of a hat or because they have some sort of spat with a manager. It just doesn't happen. These are some of the most coveted jobs in all of the practice of law. Even more coveted and even harder to get than those posh jobs at the fancy pants law firms in Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. and L.A. These are people who believe very deeply in what they do. Resigning in this way by this many people, now spreading to the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, now spreading to Mayor Eric Adams' office, while not federal prosecutors, you know, working in the mayor's office for the New York City mayor is probably, you know, on the political spectrum, about one notch down from working in the White House. That's how seriously these people believe their integrity has been compromised. We will probably not see anything like this again in our lifetimes. And maybe it gets worse in this Trump administration before it gets better. But God help us if we ever see anything get this bad in another president's administration. And by the way, who do you think are the two offices when it comes to federal prosecutions that handle the vast majority of wrongdoing by the billionaire elites in this country and the vast majority of political corruption cases? Might that be the Southern District of New York and the D.C. Circuit? Yeah, you'd be correct. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of my background and how intense the pressure can get. And I was just the top lawyer from Milwaukee County. And nothing I'm going to say here is privileged or confidential information. All of this is in the public record. When I was hired to become Milwaukee County's top lawyer, the two branches of government in Milwaukee County, the executive branch, the county executive's office, and the legislature, were in open warfare. They were actually suing each other. What were they suing each other about? The separation of powers. And at the root of the dispute were a number of questions about who gets to hire and fire and decide the compensation of certain high-level employees within Milwaukee County, people appointed by the county executive. And in addition, does the county executive's office need the approval of the legislature to buy and sell public lands, to hire contractors? Is it just contracts over a certain dollar? There are a whole bunch of questions. Does any of this sound a little familiar to you? And it was my job to come in and help clarify those matters. And I will just tell you this. I was asked to give an opinion on an issue in an open public hearing in front of the entire county board. And my legal opinion at that time was that that was not a particular power that was the legislature's. So I was telling the county board, no, that's not your power. That is the county executive's power. And no, you don't get to do anything about it. It's his and his alone to execute. And in that public meeting, my job was threatened. The chairman of the county board looked at me and said, if that is your opinion, Corporation Counsel Dawn, this means war. These were not unique moments. I worked for Milwaukee County through an incredible period of governmental unrest, both within the microcosm of Milwaukee County, but also broadly. It was during Trump's first term. I had clients that disagreed all the time about what the right course of action was. And many applied all kinds of political pressure to me in my position. And the only way I was able to do that job, to whatever small impact I may have had, was because every day I knew that I would go into the office, I would do my very best, and I would do it objectively and professionally, and that my opinion and my advice would never change depending on who asked me. And in my near 15 years of public service, what I can share with you is this: there is simply no other way to do those jobs. That if you try to put your finger on the scales, to situationally interpret things, to maybe partially share with your bosses or elected officials, it leads to a place of relativism that undermines the very democratic systems that you sign up to serve and protect, and the citizens and residents who are ultimately the ones who deserve your objectivity and your independence. And so I knew very well on a day-to-day basis that my job could be taken away. But when I signed up to do that work, I knew that that was part of the deal. So whether by resignation or termination, it is incumbent upon every single official in the Trump Department, in the Trump Department of Justice, and across every Trump executive branch agency to do their jobs without political favor or preference. It's the only way to do the work. All right, folks, we're going to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back and we're going to finish up with your calls and texts. Thanks to everybody. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more on the Maggie Dawn Show after these brief messages.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And
welcome back. Thanks to everybody listening with me and participating with me this afternoon. On this edition of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, you got Dom Salvia coming up next. I might be hanging around for a little overtime with Dom Salvia. If you would like to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in on this program, 855-756-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, thanks for your patience, sir. What say you?
Well, you were talking about these different judges and everything holding the line so far. The only thing that scares me, Maggie, is this. All these hacks that are replacing people. And, like, for instance, this isn't in a judge area, but it's going to be very, very important going forward. This new person that they're going to assign to the FCC is scarier than hell. You know, yep. I'd be watching your backside as far as being on the air. They are not. And then you talked earlier about the Russian situation.
Yeah.
In Ukraine and where we're at. Where are we at? We've got three different presidents, Hegseth, the vice president, and Trump. Last week, the vice president said that we'd be willing to send troops if the Russians don't, you know, allow this to go on peacefully.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, it's just the opposite. I mean, if I'm a foreign country, I'm sitting here scratching my head going, who the hell are we dealing with?
There was, Dick, couldn't agree with you more. There was a not widely reported event that occurred this weekend following J.D. Vance's comments at this Munich security conference. That is that the French president reportedly started calling the leaders of many Western European democracies and saying, we need to get together and talk about the Trump problem. And when I saw the headline, the thing that occurred to me was this. When the Western Alliance gathers in a meeting to discuss the resurgence of neo-Nazis, fascism, and dictators, and you're not invited to the meeting, you might be the Nazi, fascist, authoritarian dictator. Part of what has always been a cornerstone of U.S. power and dominance, despite our many historical failings, has been that in moments of tipping point type moments in world history, we have stood up and said, at great sacrifice, our own young men and women, trillions of dollars, that we will try to stand for human dignity, equal treatment under the law, free and open democracies, transparent and accountable governments, that no man is above the rule of law. What is it that we're standing up for now? It's not free speech. I mean, that's why J.D. Vance's entire presentation in Munich was such garbage. Of course it's not free speech. Because Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, all these, the social media swamp is suppressing all kinds of speech. They're punishing journalists. They want to jail journalists. Trump's media is the public enemy number one. That's not free speech. So what are the values that we stand for? And are we drawing alliances and supporting governments that align with us in those values? Or is there some sort of transactional next level chess game going on? And to whose benefit? I mean, so Musk is running Doge, accessing all kinds of who's auditing the auditors? I mean, I'd like to know, wait a minute, where is Doge on Donald Trump riding around the Daytona 500 in the Beast or golfing nearly one third of the days he's supposedly on the job as he chastises public employees for working from home? You're working from the golf course. Wait, well, like, that made sense? I mean, how many tens of millions of dollars did it cost for Donald Trump to go to the Super Bowl? What's that about? So please, we got to look down a few notches. What they say it's about, let's just assume that's not really what it's about, and then try to assess what's going on here. And I've had this little idea floating around for a long time, and I'm not going to get into it in great detail. But one of the things that I think we're all captured by in this moment, and here's my call to you, my call to action, we're all captured by our own perspective, our own vantage point of the world. And we know that this is a thing. How do we know that this is a thing? That we have a hard time seeing beyond our own blinders. That we have a hard time seeing the big picture. That we have a hard time accepting information that clashes with our own pre-existing beliefs. We know this if we look at the history of map making. Every curious person at one point in time has looked at a map and said, I wonder why Europe smack dab in the middle. Why is north up and south down and east to the right and west to the left? Who decided this? When and why? And we know from the history of map making that this isn't the way that we always drew our maps. So I think we all need to call on ourselves to continuously challenge the information that we're receiving, to seek out better information, and to challenge our own preconceived notions. So pick the opposite of something that you believe this week and take a little research moment on it. See what it may reveal to you. That's going to do it for me. Dom Salvia is up next. Thanks for being with me on this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go vote! Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project join me to review the election results of the DPI secretary's race and more. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. A jury in Los Angeles finding rapper A$AP Rocky not guilty of firing a handgun at a former friend in 2021. Jurors deliberated for only about 3 hours. Outside the court, his attorney, Joe Tacopina, thanked the jury.
Bottom line is, we're grateful for the jury. They saw through this mirage of a case. We said from day one he was innocent. He turned down a plea for almost no jail time because he was innocent. And I've always said this was an extortion. The extortion played out live in color in court.
The Trump administration Tuesday night, according to a memo obtained by ABC News, cutting off funding to organizations that provide pro bono legal help to unaccompanied migrant children. Federal judge refusing to immediately block Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency from accessing government data systems or participating in worker layoffs. Two backcountry skiers buried and killed by an avalanche in central Oregon's Happy Valley. This is ABC News.